The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by Saul from Survivor 47, and we are going to be predicting episode number 11 of Survivor 50. Predictions and power rankings. Saul, you are, I might be in LA, but you are in the most LA looking thing ever. That sky is blue. The trees are green. Everything looks nice right now for you.
I'm digging it because I'm wishing I was where you were. Don't let my wife hear you say that, but in the time being, I will just take it and wear my shades on your podcast and do my thing.
I love it. I love it. I don't think you want to be exactly where I am. I'm sitting in a very uncomfortable position. Movers have not come yet, so I am
true.
I'm up on the countertop. Legs are inside the dishwasher, essentially. Chair is not great, but here we are, man. The beauty of moving. What do you think of Survivor 50 so far?
I love Survivor 50.
Wow.
I've paid more attention to Survivor 50 than probably any other season besides season 47. And what I respect about the people who created Survivor or the producers of Survivor is that, like, season 50 is a big deal, obviously. And they had to go for it and take a ton of risks. And a lot of fans, the people that, you know, are the vocal fans, a lot of them aren't liking a lot of the stuff. They like some of the stuff. I'm on the other side. I respect that they took so many risks, because at the end of the day, if you don't take any risks, then you're not going to create what people are saying this last episode was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Survivor episode of all time. And it's because the producers of Survivor said, all right, let's just try a bunch of stuff that we think is going to work. And like I said, some of them have missed, but I feel like a majority of them have hit, and I have been very, very entertained this entire season.
Yeah, I think I've been saying on a lot of these podcasts, I feel the entertainment standpoint. I feel like sometimes the producers have gotten really lucky. I think last week was one of those instances. Like, that episode was amazing because Rick Devins volunteered and because Rick Devins landed on the right side. I think if it's a rock draw and then the person goes out because of a rock draw and a coin flip, I think people probably react differently. But I hear what you're saying. Do you want to see any of this stuff moving forward, or do you want this to just be like one off season 50, never hear it again?
I do want to see it. I think it's fun. I think it's cool. It's like, if, especially in today's society where like collaborations are like a thing, and I was just thinking, like, I'm not a big Friends guy, but I remember when Brad Pitt like went on Friends, and I was like an eighth grader, and it was like the biggest thing in the world because Brad Pitt is on Friends, even though he has no business besides dating Jennifer Aniston that to be on Friends, right? And I feel like I just wish they would have done some of this stuff a little bit more, kind of like I wish like Mr. Beast was actually on the show, and so was Zach Brown. I wish they would have got Billie Eilish like on the island. I wish Jimmy Fallon would have actually been on. I love it. It's something that I like. I like these collaborations. While some people are like, they're taking away from the players. It's like, give me a break. They're getting, you know, out of the 2 hours, they're getting an hour and 40 minutes of the episode. So that's my take.
Mm-hmm. I like it. If you were watching, or if you were during season 47, and you saw some of these things come up, who would you have wanted to see? Like, you got Jimmy Fallon, you got Billie Eilish, you got Zach Brown. Would you have been really amped about these people? I know with Mr. Beast, it was, I didn't think any of you were going to know who I am. And Joe admitted on social media he had no idea who it was. Suri has that classic image right now of just staring at him like, I have no clue who this man is.
Right.
Like, would you have known these people? Would you have preferred others? Like, how do you feel about, like, the caliber that they got?
So I've... Since being on season 47, I have gotten a masterclass on pop culture and the internet from Teenie. And I will say, like, had I not been there, I probably would not have known. Fair. Like, Suri, Joe, I get it. But when you're hanging around 25, 26-year-olds for, you know, 26 days, you're going to get some education on, you know, what's going on in the world. But even so, like, it's just, I was thinking about myself playing in season 50 and having these people come out and like just acting like, oh my gosh, wow, that's Mr. Beast. I still think it would have been fun. I still think it would have been cool, even though if I didn't know, like, look, I'm not the biggest Zach Brown fan. I really don't know any of his songs, but I know who he is. And I just like famous people, you know.
That's why you get the shades on right now. You're trying to be one of them. That's what's happening.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
How are the, like, I haven't heard Teenie's opinions on this season, but I know Teenie's a diehard, diehard fan. I was lucky enough to have lunch before your season with Teenie. And I know that Andy's a diehard, and I know that Sam and Rachel, yeah, and these are people that I haven't really gotten to talk to this season. I know that Rachel's actually going to be on the podcast tomorrow with Tegwith. Are they feeling the same way you're feeling? Or are you finding yourself maybe like punching uphill a little bit?
Oh, I'm punching the hell out of that hill. I'm, you know, I got a cane, you know. No, I'm kind of alone, and that's okay. I shouldn't say, like, I actually talked to Sam about it last week. Everyone's about like a 6.5 and less, while I am at like 8 to 9, mm-hmm, you know. And maybe that is like the age difference. I'm not sure. But no, they're not as pumped up as I am about it.
I had a feeling. I did have a feeling on that. There's a lot of purists on your season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How did you feel about the way that Genevieve went out? I mean, you're talking about all these twists with the cameo appearances, but then Genevieve goes at the Blood Moon, and Genevieve is the 47 representative. Did that one dock it from being a 10 of a season to the 8 or 9 territory?
It just sucked because, I mean, she just got sucked. I almost said F instead of S.
You but can do that myself on this podcast.
Yeah, it's happened many times. I mean, let's just face it. But here's the thing. That is the game. That is the game of Survivor. Sometimes you just get fucked. No matter what you do, you can make every single right decision. That's why poker and Survivor are very similar. You can do everything right. And at the end of the day, if that 2% card comes on the river and you're all in, and then you all of a sudden your chips are gone, and the guy who did nothing correctly can win. And that's what happened to Genevieve. Like, just her and Kyle are, here's what I can tell you. Her and Rizzo are very tight. Mm. Her and Kyle are very tight. And she's the idols that she got, like, none of them were real for her. And so, you know, having Kyle get medevaced just really hurt her game. We all know this stuff. But at the end of the day, just so unlucky, but also a part of the game. And she knows that too. She knows it's part of the game.
Yeah, I know. It'll be interesting when the season's all said and done, when like the dust settles. And we're hearing exit press. We're hearing people talk about, you know, how they feel about certain things in the game, how they feel about their edit, all that. But it'll be interesting after the season's over, when people see the finished product, when they see the final thing, to hear who's really negative about the season and who's being more positive, who's maybe campaigning for time number 3 or time number 4 or time number 6 in some instances, and who's just saying, I don't care. This isn't the Survivor I want. I'm done with this. And I hope Genevieve falls into the first category, because I think a lot of people were really bummed with how she went out. I know Will, my primary co-host, he's been destroyed since that episode. He said a black mark on the season.
I don't blame him.
He's gonna have an asterisk. Like, he's been so miserable since that.
Yeah. I mean, I just couldn't imagine like finding idols and none of them are for you. Like, the high to the ultimate low. It's like, actually, I kind of can understand, because when I found my advantage in the game, the one that I sent to Rachel, when I actually found it before I read it, like, dopamine spike through the roof. And then when you read it, it's like the biggest letdown ever. I'm like, oh, I have to give this to somebody else. And then you just kind of have a talk with yourself, be like, okay, this is an advantage, make the best of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like an idol.
Well, it's funny, because I was watching that episode at the Bryson Wen event in New Orleans. And I remember you found it, and everybody goes nuts at the event. You can see your adrenaline. You're like, oh, I got this thing. And then it was, you open it, and all of us, it was like a collective, oh, because you really think it's going to be for you. Now, everybody was pretty pumped because it was going to make the other tribal council dramatic, which it obviously was not going to be had you not found that.
Right.
But we were all just like, yeah, no. And at that event, that was where Gabler had said that he thought Saul the Wrecking Ball was going to win the season. So then all of a sudden it was like, what does Gabler know that we don't? And then 3 seconds later, you're giving away the advantage to somebody else. And
that's that. Can I say something about Gabler while we're on Gabler? Like, how did, and I know I'm very alone on this for some reason. I do not get it. How is Gabler not on season 50? The guy gave out of every player in 50 seasons, he gave the entire prize. He gave it away to help people. I feel like it should have been a no-brainer to put Gabler on. I understand why Gabler won the game. I thought it was a masterclass. A lot of people don't. I guess because it wasn't as entertaining as some other players. But shout out to Gabler, my boy, for just reminding everyone, he donated $1 million.
I mean, we're like one of the biggest 43 Stan podcasts there is. Everybody hates 43 so much in this community, and we love 43. And I thought Gabler was an interesting winner. And I always say with those types of winners that you can't really see it, like Gabler, like Erica, where it's a little bit more hidden. Sometimes right. Watching them come back is what I want. I want to see if they can do it again. Can they play the same game? And honestly, Gabler would have been a great fit for 50 because it's a really older cast. And yeah. All of a sudden, Gabler's not sticking out like a sore thumb. He won the season where he stuck out like a sore thumb.
Exactly.
How would he play in a season where he doesn't?
Right. Didn't get one single vote the entire season, mm-hmm. which yep. I don't know if that's ever been done before. It might have, but yeah. I mean, I love the guy.
He's one James Jones vote for Cassidy away from a perfect game.
Is that right?
Adam Klein. Who else played that? Adam Klein did it. JT did it. A couple people have done it. I forget who else, but there's a couple who have done it, and he was one vote away from doing it, and he gets pretty much no respect in this community. But
yeah, and I don't understand it. Like, the dude, just imagine giving away $1 million. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all you got to do. Anyways, mm-hmm. we can move on, but
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine having a chair right now, Saul, let alone giving $1 million. My dog is pacing around on our vinyl flooring because she doesn't have a couch or anything.
Yeah.
Mine.
Nice floor here for me, Phil.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, at least it's somewhat cool today because it's not super hot yet, but we'll see how that goes in a couple days. Let's talk about Devins, huh? Devins with his antics, flipping this coin, all that. Saul, would you ever have had the stones, for lack of a better term, to go up there and flip that coin?
Not before, but now, yes. Like, Devins has inspired me. Like, it was incredible to watch. It made me reevaluate everything I've ever done in my life, to be honest. And to just go, like, dude, just put your nuts on the table and say, let's go. Like, that's how you win big. I know I brought up poker again. One of my buddies won $2 million 2 weeks ago playing poker. And I'm just talking to him about the strategy. And some of the things that he did were so high risk. And he was like, yeah, but I mean, that's how you get big, big leads in poker. Like, you have to take these giant risks. And if they don't work out, you go home. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's what Rick Devins did. And he did it in a way that was just badass. And I think everyone knew watching, oh, that's hitting heads. There's no mm-hmm. doubt that this is not going to work. Rick Devins has inspired me to, like, just go for it. And that's, again, why one of the reasons this episode was so good. And you mentioned it earlier, like, they got kind of lucky. The producers got kind of lucky. Well, they created the luck. They picked Devins to be on this show, and they believed in Rick Devins. And I think part of that belief to say, hey, these guys believe in me, they picked me to be on this show, it does a little something to you. It bumps your game up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm loving some Rick Devins right now. I mean, dude, even from the idol that he had, you know, in like episode 2 or whatever. Now, the one thing I wish he wouldn't have done is I wish he wouldn't have admitted that it was fake. Because if he would have got to the final three, I think that move hurts him from getting to the final three, telling the people that he got it. And I think that if he would have got to the final three, to be able to say, hey, motherfuckers, this mm-hmm. was that was fake. Like, could you and being on the jury and be like, oh my God, unless Christian would tell them at Ponderosa, who knows? Mm-hmm. But still, like, Rick Devins is, to quote Rizzo, he's cinema right now.
He is cinema. He is cinema. And let's, I want to talk about that with the coin flip, how you were saying you would now, but maybe not before. Because I think that's like, a lot of people are saying, well, if your back's against the wall, of course you're going to go get up and flip that coin. But at the same time, when you're playing Survivor, you're always hopeful that there's an out, right? I mean, you're somebody who was voted out of the game, but at that tribal council, you're hopeful that there's going to be a way for you to survive that tribal. So, like, what, like, you, like, put us in like the mind of a player, even if your back is somewhat against the wall, to walk up there and say, I'm giving myself a 50-50 chance right now. That's it. Like, most players are not doing that.
No. And I mean, you can even just go to the shot in the dark, like the shot in the dark. How many people go home with the shot in the dark in their pocket? Yeah. It's because that they're hoping slash trusting that whatever people are telling them is true. And that's exactly what happened to me, in that everyone's lying to me, but you're just kind of like, they're either lying or they're doing a damn good job of, you know, making me feel like they're telling the truth. And hopefully they're telling me, it's just a guessing game. And it's like, all right, do I want to trust them or go 1-6? Mm-hmm. Now 50-50 is way better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why the shot in the dark is not played as, I mean, how many times has it been played twice?
Yeah, it was just Colby or Coach played it. Genevieve played it. Did Colby play it too? I think Colby played it.
No, I think he didn't have a vote. Right. Yeah.
That's right. So twice. Right. I think the whole
season. So, I mean, yeah, it's because at the end of the day, you're like, okay, I talked to Joe, I talked to Tiffany, and they're telling me this, I'm going to roll with it. And that's Survivor.
Yeah. We got this one from Selena Whimsy here. Imagine if Devin's never told them that morning and he got his, quotes, second idol at Tribal from the coin flip. Now everyone believes he has two idols. They would piss themselves. We'd be at final nine with people thinking Devin's has two idols. That would be nuts.
Yeah. And they would not be surprised either, I bet. Mm-hmm. Because Devin's has proven himself to be the idol guy.
I think the only thing going to that one is if he gets up and flips it, most people are going to assume the other one's fake, because they're not assuming somebody with a real idol is getting up to put their game on a flip. Like, I would just, they would probably be he's going to play the idol, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Devin's is also crazy. He's also just, he's playing. And he even said in his pregame press, he did an interview with Dalton Ross this week where he said, like, he wasn't going out there to necessarily always make the best decisions. He was thinking about, like, what is going to be entertaining? What's going to be interesting? What's going to be fun? Like, he was going out there to have a lot of fun. And what's funny is there's a lot of people who were going out there, like, on a business trip that didn't make it nearly as far as Rick Devin's did.
Right.
And Rick Devin's is at least making final eight. If this is a double boot, maybe he doesn't make it out of the episode, but he's going to play that idol at nine. So he's at least making final eight.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, to play devil's advocate here, ain't no way Rick Devin's is winning Survivor 50.
No way.
It's because of what you just said. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but as a jury member, or I'm sorry, I'm not a jury member, but someone playing in the game, and what are we, there's nine left.
Yeah.
Nine left. All nine of them are going. The best shield of all time right now is Rick Devin's. But at some point, he ain't making it, you know. In fact, I know we're going to do this later, but I think he's going home next.
Even with the idol in his pocket.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Forgot about that. Can you cut that out? I don't want people to think.
Yeah. I don't want people to know. But you pretty much what you're saying is he gets rid of that idol, he's done right after that. Like, there's nothing he can do.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he's the winner. At this point, he's the winner if you let him stay, and they're all going to figure that out.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people are really high on Ceree this season, and rightfully so. Ceree's played an amazing game, and you know she's obviously the fan favorite coming in, where everybody's like, please let Ceree finally get her win. But I think the thing with Ceree is, like, Ceree sits next to Devin, Ceree probably still wins that. But Devin's has built the resume that makes the argument of, I planted a fake idol at Tribal, I did the coin flip, I doubled the prize, he's going to play an idol probably correctly in the next episode. Like, there's so many things that Devin's is doing, where Ceree's game is very strategic, it's very social, it's very like, we're going to go one thing at a time. But I do feel like Devin's is the favorite right now in everybody's mind as they're watching it on the island. As they're playing the game, they're saying, oh God, Devin's came in as a big threat anyway. Now he's a massive threat. We cannot let him keep going.
No doubt. Ceree's game is it's been beautiful so far. It's a masterclass on being subtle yet effective. And she's got the alliance with Ozzy and Rizzo that is just, I don't think anybody really knows about it either, right? Which is a beautiful thing to see. But yeah, I think in terms of like the blockbuster moves, it's been Devin's. And I feel like if you're at a jury and you're making, you know, just reminding everyone what you've done, it's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. So we're coming into this episode, final nine. Devin's has an idol. We don't know what the parameters of this idol are. We don't know if it's a normal idol. We don't know if it's super idol. We don't know if it's another Billie Eilish. We have no idea what this is. We just know he was handed an idol. He didn't open it at Tribal. Then we have Rizzo and Ozzy with the idols that can only play for themselves. And we have Ceree with an extra vote.
Where Which is crazy. It's crazy to think that Ozzy and Rizzo, like, zero pressure to play mm-hmm. these idols. It's like, it's crazy. Everyone knows it. They're down to the final nine, and they have not even had to sweat one vote. Ozzy this one for the first time. But isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Aubrey had one, and everyone was like, Aubrey, why aren't you playing this idol? It's what about Rizzo and Ozzy?
Yeah. Well, and it's because every time Ozzy's name comes up, Ceree's like, hey, you guys can't talk about him. Everybody shut up. That's my guy. And it's what worries me about Ceree, though, doing that is Ceree potentially putting herself in a position where now Ozzy's going to play the idol at some point, and it's going to be Ceree who kind of gets the stray because she almost put him in too good of a position. It's almost like she needs the votes to go to him and then like hit him at Tribal and be like, you better play your idol, knowing it's going to go there, get him to play it, do what she needs to do. And now at least he's not protected, because I do worry for her that her two closest allies are going to be protected. So if the other side does ever rise up and decide to vote these people out, well, we can't get Ozzy, but let's put enough votes on him to make him use the idol. Split the vote. Ceree's the next person to go because she doesn't have an idol.
I don't think no matter what Ceree does, she's never winning Survivor.
Mm.
Because it's like they're just not going to let her get there, because they know Ceree is like a goddess in this game. And if we let her get there to the end, she's winning. We could have the best argument in the world. And it's kind of like, I feel like when someone hasn't won an Oscar and they can make a shit movie, but because they've been in the game for so long and they're a nominee for the Oscar, at some point they're going to win.
Yeah.
But with Ceree and Survivor, I feel like they all know that if she gets to the final three, it don't matter what I do, she's mm-hmm. going to win, just because everyone loves Ceree.
So is Ceree, so everybody always talks about Ceree's the best to never win. And I think it's probably the fairest, you know, argument at this point.
For sure.
Social game, unbelievable. Russell's was terrible. And then other players who didn't win, Cesternino, all of that. Like, they haven't played enough. They haven't been able to replicate the performance the way Ceree has time and time and time again. But knowing that when she steps on the island, she pretty much can't win a season. How does that like impact Ceree's legacy? Because she can be the best to never win, but she's like Marino. She literally cannot win the season. The second she's there, you know that the season is ending in disappointment for her in some way, shape, or form. So how do you kind of process that as Survivor fans at this point, where it's she's the best to never win, but she's always not going to win? Like, there's other players who haven't won who have a better chance to win than Ceree, but aren't nearly as good of players.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great question, Dan Marino. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, Charles Barkley. But
yeah,
I guess at the end of the day, as a Survivor fan, or if I'm Ceree, it ain't bad being Charles Barkley or, you know, mm-hmm. Dan Marino. You got to play. How many times has she played Survivor? Is this her sixth time, fifth time?
I think it's her sixth if you count AU, right?
Yeah, and if you think about where she started from on the couch. And not believing in herself to where she is today. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So she's just too good. And Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you got to have the team around you. And right now she's trying to, I think that this might be the best, and people will yell at me for this because of what she did in Fans vs. Favorites. But I think this might be the best alliance she ever built, because she's in total control of it. And she's subtly in control of it. Like you said, like, everybody knew her, Parv, and Amanda were working together, and the women were working together. People don't realize how closely she's working with Ozzy and working with Rizzo, because everybody's telling her all this information all the time. Steph is telling her information. Joe is telling her information. Tiffany's telling her information. Everybody is going to Ceree. I think this is honestly one of the more, this might be her most impressive game. And that's coming from somebody who thinks that her Fans vs. Favorites game is like a top five game of all time. And had it not been for that stupid medevacs leading to her getting voted out at three, she wins that season. I think she beats Parvati and Amanda easily. So, I mean, she's just built up this army this time that I think is better than she's ever done.
I want to take back what I said earlier.
Okay.
Rick Devens has been by far the most entertaining of season 50. But when it comes to Survivor gameplay, Suri is dominating.
Yeah.
But she's just not going to win. And neither is Rick Devens.
But
Suri, like you said, everyone's telling her everything. But she's also doing a fantastic job of like filling in, like for Ozzy. Hey, dude, they're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, Ozzy, Rizzo, or Suri, they're going to have to turn on each other. But right now, doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. And that is what a great alliance looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see if there's a blind side.
What do you think her ceiling is on this season, placement-wise?
Because of what you just said, how great that alliance is, and Rizzo is a phenomenal Survivor player. He's got a great Survivor mind, and Ozzy's played enough times to know that if you guys can keep, you know, the three of them going, I feel like she's got at least two more episodes before somebody starts catching on, be like, yo, Suri's name has not been brought up one time. But they also have a lot of ammunition.
Yeah.
Do they have a steal of vote?
She has the steal. Ozzy gave her the steal vote. So yeah, she has an extra vote, just an extra, not a steal.
Someone gave her that extra vote.
Ozzy gave it to her. Cause Ozzy had gotten
somebody
it
gave away the steal of vote in like episode 3.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, how good of a Survivor player are you to someone just says, hey, buddy, this advantage, there you go. Like, just impressive. So I know it's building trust, but at the same time, you gave your still a vote away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And the thing is, like, I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, we're now at final 9. We've now eliminated 15 people. I said in the last episode, that means that every person who's left in the game beat the same number of people that Richard Hatch and Tina Wesson and Ethan Zahn and Vesepia Towery beat on their seasons of Survivor. Like, because they finished first out of 16. They beat 15 people. Everybody who's left in the game beat 15
never
people.
Never thought about it like crazy. That.
But you got to – and so it's weird because at Final 9, normally it's like, hey, you're still a little too far from the end. You don't really want to be thinking too much about, you know, Final 3. You got to get to Final 3 first. What are you going to do? But on this season, I do feel like at the final 9, you have to be thinking about who can I actually beat at this point? Because you have enough history for every player. This isn't, oh, you know, Joe Engelm at this point hadn't even been in danger in Second Chance at Final 9. I think it was the first time he ever was in danger was at Final 9. And so it's like you have enough info. You got to be thinking about who you can beat. And if you're these players, you have to know. You can't beat Suri. You can't beat Ozzy. You can't beat Rick Devens. But if you're Rizzo, you're aligned with these people. If you're Emily, you're aligned with these people. So at what point are you getting comfortable enough to make a move against one of them and get rid of them?
I will say it's one of my pet peeves when people have that mindset that I can't beat this person. It's like you're not going to win Survivor if you're saying that to yourself. It's like, figure out a way to beat that person because you kind of need that person still in the game as a shield too. But just my personal take, like I just remember going like, if someone's doing a great job, I'm never going to say to myself, I can't beat that person. So I'm going to get them out of the game. Probably a bad strategic way to go about it, but just my personal mentality, I guess.
Because your feeling is if they're playing that good, that they're going to beat me at the end, I should start playing as good as them so I can beat them at the end. It's essentially what you're saying there.
Exactly. Or it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, step up your game. Like if this is how you're feeling right now, step up your game, but keep them around so you can say like, hey, I guess you want to beat that person and you are beating that person if you get them voted out prior to. But it's like, you know, have that final three be a bunch of badasses and let's go down to the end and I'm going to beat you. That's that's my attitude when I'm trying to play Survivor.
Yeah. And I think that makes total sense. And my one pushback with it would be how as Rizzo, do you convince all those people that you do deserve to beat Suri if the two of you are sitting next to each other at the end? I think that's my biggest question.
Sure. You know? Yeah. I don't know. But I think that a guy like Rizzo would be able to come up with something that I'm not thinking about right now that he would get a very good shot at it. definitely a reason why he's made it a deep run in this game, and he's going from 49 to 50. So
yeah. Love it. I love it. All right. St. Quivo says Saul's mindset is Token Sheen's coach, but maybe a little bit more sound over here, Saul. I'll give you a little bit more credit maybe than Token Sheen's coach, you know. Everything seems to be clicking in your brain right now. I don't know about coach on Token Sheen's.
What was that guy's name?
That's St. Quivo.
St. Quivo, my man. Yep.
There you go.
Everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question. What's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge. They also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store. They can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
All right, let's start ranking the people so that we can get into this and talk about some other people. So who do you think the safest person this week is? Who are you putting at number one?
Oh, he's got his pad, everybody. There you go.
Devins. Even though I expect as soon as he gets rid of that idol, if he gives his idol away, like Ozzy did to Suri, it's Devins. But yeah, if he doesn't, it's Devins is the safest.
But what makes me laugh is I really should have McKenna edit this where it's you saying Devins is going out next episode. And then I'll just cut it straight to you saying safest person's Devins. Just no context. Just let the internet roast you, you know, no context at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the pick. I'm worried that it's a double boot again because they didn't have a double boot last week. And then the finale's on the 20th. So that we have this week, we have next week, and then it's the finale. And I'm assuming the finale is going to be at final six, which means there needs to be one more double boot. It could be this week. It could be next week. I have no idea. That's the only reason I don't put Devins at one, though. He's going to play his idol. He knows he's going home if he doesn't. But I'm going to go with Ozzie as number one and play it extra safe because at the end of the day, Ozzie has an idol and he has the most powerful thing in the game, which is Ceree telling him every single time somebody wants to vote him out of the game. And he can only play the idol for himself. So he doesn't have to think about, should I try to use it to protect Ceree? Should I protect somebody else? Just playing it for himself. He's great at challenges. I still think he's going to tie Boston Rob's record before the end of the season. It's been mentioned so many times. So I got Ozzie as my number one this week.
For the exact same reasons, I got Rizzo number two because he's got the idol and he's got Ceree telling him everything. So that's who I have as number two.
I mean,
and he has he had a vote? Has anyone voted for him yet?
I don't think so. That's a good question. Let me look real quick. I don't think anybody has. I mean, but do you think they're not voting for him because they think that they all just kind of want to keep him around because they want to play with him? Like, what do you think the reason is if Rizzo doesn't have a vote? Is it a good thing for Rizzo or is it a bad thing for Rizzo?
Man, Phil.
I got to hit you with the hard questions, man.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
Because, well, maybe not. That's such a tough question because sometimes it can be good at getting votes your way. Then you can all of a sudden flip him later and be like, yo, why are you targeting me? Like, I'm a number. Use me. I don't know, man. That's too good of a question, Phil.
Rizzo got the votes at the Charlie episode. That's what it was. People are
saying.
Oh,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So it was between him and Charlie, and that was where he ultimately voted out Charlie, and Charlie was absolutely shocked that it was between him and Rizzo. But since then, his name hasn't come up.
Yeah, I think it's right now. I think it's been a really, really good thing for Rizzo that nobody's been voting for him.
Mm-hmm. And not to be boring, I have him at two as well. I think it's
yeah. And also, like, he's also hasn't stirred much controversy, like Jonathan in this past episode. And Emily, like, just being gossip queen out there. It's like he's not doing that.
Mm-hmm. What is Rizzo's argument if he gets to the end?
I think there's a lot of game left to be played, obviously. I think he could argue the fact that he has no connections out there and he's made it to the final four. He held his idol for freaking the entire season, what it feels like. He has had votes on the Charlie vote, but he executed that elimination of Charlie with D. But yeah, I think that's a solid start going into this episode. With that many more to go.
I think with Rizzo too, what's funny is one of his biggest strengths and weaknesses is nobody saw his 49 game. I think if they all saw him holding, like when they all get done with this season and they realize Rizzo held an idol his entire first season, and then they realize that on this season, Rizzo has held an idol his entire second season. I know that people will say, well, he's not getting the target. You know, is that like Sue in your season? It's like, well, does that mean that Sue's really not a threat to win? But then at the same time, it's like there's something about the social game that is working there because he didn't do it
exactly
twice and everybody's friendly with him. He's not, it's not, oh, you know, this knucklehead. Everybody likes him and he keeps holding the idol. And I think if they all put that into perspective, he would get more votes, but I just don't think they're gonna be able to put that into perspective because they don't really understand what he did on season 49 with a comeback down 7-3 or whatever it was. And never play the idol and still get your alliance to three of the final four.
Yeah. I mean, he's done just an awesome job of being like a super fan of Survivor and then like bringing that into the game, like, Suri, I love you. Like, you're my idol, Ozzy. Oh my gosh. And he's kind of using that to his advantage to gain trust. Like, you are my king. You are my queen. I've grown up watching you. I will never screw you over. He knows what he's doing. Like,
have you met him yet?
I have.
Okay. I don't know what it was like when you met him, but the first time I met him at Ron Clark, he came up and he goes to his girlfriend. He goes, Liz God, this is Phil. This is who it's all about. This is who it's all for. And he's doing that. And it's funny because, like, I know that he's joking. Like, I know that that's his personality.
Right.
But at the same time, that it's what you're saying. It's every time he gets to be in that fan mode, he's so good at being in the fan mode. And even if you're like, this kid's like kind of, you know, he's just being clown, whatever. It's right. Fine. There's also part of you that's like, damn, he really does like me. That's good. And like Coach on the way out, when he's yelling, Coach, you changed my life. Like, that's a half truth, probably. You know, it's right. Like Coach on Survivor probably changed Rizzo's life. Rizzo's life isn't any better because of Coach. But also Coach has that ego where Coach is going, man, that Rizzo kid was a nice kid. He was a good kid. You know, like,
same really with Colby, right? That's what Colby said. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, I've met Rizzo. I know exactly what you're talking about. He can make you feel like you're special, I guess. And even though that you see it, it's all good because I like you, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't feel
that's
phony.
A skill. That's a skill. Not everybody can do that. It's like with some people, it's so obvious. It's cringy, you know?
Yeah. With some people, it's like, all right, you're going to give the nickname. You're going to try to overinflate me, but no, not with Rizzo. Something
it's very
about
natural.
It.
It's very natural with Rizzo.
Yep. We got Tara Knox Incognita here. Been calling Rizzo the legend whisperer, and he has. I mean, he's been doing a great job. I'm really, really hoping that he gets to make his argument at Final Tribal this time. I feel like for him, that would mean
me
so
too.
Much. Even if he gets zero votes, it would mean so much to him to be able to sit at Final Three and really get that experience because he's experienced everything else.
Yeah. He's been my winner pick since day one on season 15. Yeah.
Love it. Who do you have at number three?
I have Suri. Because of everything that we have just said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has anyone, all it takes is one person to go, hey, what about Suri?
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to do Suri? It's not if, it's when. And it might be this one.
And I could see that. And that's why I don't have her yet. But it's almost like everybody wants to use Suri as a shield. But if you're everybody's shield, nobody's looking to get rid of you. Nobody's looking to destroy you. They're just going to let you keep going. And you see her. One second she's talking to Ozzy. Next second she's on a log talking to Tiffany. Next second she's in the hammock talking to Rizzo. Next second she's talking to Steph. Next second she's talking. And you're like, when does she sleep? Like, I don't get why she's able to go to all these different settings and have so many different conversations and everybody else isn't able to do that to the same level as her. And so I feel good about her right now, but I'm going to go Aubrey at three instead, mainly because I think last week's edit for Aubrey pretty much shot her to the moon in terms of my winner potential.
Yeah.
I think that she's probably going to win the season based on what I saw last week. So I'm going to rank her at three. I think she's in a really good middle position. She's put herself in the spot where she can be with the new era people. She can be with the old school people. She's not anybody's number one target. Like, she is as in the middle as you can possibly be. She's not going to be astray if an idol gets played. Nobody's looking at Aubrey as like a massive strategist right now, which is crazy considering what she did on her first season and even partially her second season. But I love the position that Aubrey has put herself in. And if you're showing flashbacks to Michelle winning Korong when Jeff wants to essentially forget that Michelle ever won Korong, that means that they're hyping up Aubrey's story for a reason, whether it means she gets the final four and loses, she gets the final three and loses, or she gets the final three and wins. I would be shocked if Aubrey's not sitting in the finale of this season, at least. So I have her at number three.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I want to go back to Suri real quick too.
Mm-hmm.
I have met Suri twice, and very similar to Rizzo. And that just makes you feel like such a good person. Like, you just feel good being around Suri. It wasn't awkward at all. She's so personable and can just grab your attention unlike very few humans I've ever met mm-hmm. before. Very, very special person. Yeah. And with Aubrey, I'm with you on the edit. It's like something's happening with Aubrey. Kudos on the what are those worms called?
The grubs. That was
the amazing. Grubs.
And also, like, you know, talking about how good Rizzo is, he gets to stand there and watch Aubrey do yeah. that. So he gets to eat food again. Like, everybody's like, Rizzo's such a little baby, he won't eat right. anything. And then it's like, okay, fine, that's just understood. Aubrey will do it for you,
right? Which is which I did. I was like, it's kind of lame too, because you're on Survivor, like, just eat it, eat one of yeah. them. You know, like, I get it that it sucks really bad, but you're on Survivor. Like, just go for it.
Go for it once. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I feel like with Suri, I've never gotten to meet her, because the two events that I was at that she was also at, it's like trying to see Mickey Mouse at Disney World. It's just, it's yeah. not going to happen. Like, do you want right. to wait 45 minutes to try to get up there? Like, you know, and it's, would I love to meet Suri? Yes. But I got to find like a way where like somehow I'm just eating dinner and I look over and Cerise sitting there and I can have like the Charlie Day looking at whoever it is and Always Sunny and be like, you like that. Yeah. That's pretty much the only way I'm ever going to meet Cerise, I think, at this point, which is a shame. Yeah. But also, you know what? I'm glad that a player from season 12 still carries that amount of weight in the Survivor community, because that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know if Cerise watched season 47. I don't know mm-hmm. if Cerise really, really knows who I am, but she made me feel like she knew who I am. You know, I will tell you, I have met, I won't say who it is, mm-hmm. but I've met a winner of Survivor, and they knew, or I knew, that they've never seen my season, and they mm-hmm. made me feel like they've never seen my season, and they had no clue who I was, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's totally okay. But there's a difference in, you know, Suri's way and this other person's way, and how that can make another person feel. And that is very, very important in this game yeah. we call Survivor.
It's also very important in the Survivor community, because people remember yeah. these.
And it's important in life in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. I can't believe Rachel did that to you. That's crazy. All right.
She's that bitch.
She's the worst, man. I know. Yeah. She's terrible. I know. Tomorrow on the podcast, I'll make sure Tegwith asks, so why were you so mean to Saul? What the hell did you do? Yeah. who do you have at number four?
I have Joe.
Yeah, that's who I have. Four. So we're a little similar here. I also have Joe at four.
Yeah. I just feel like the snooze button has been hitting. Joe's been hitting the snooze button all the time, and no one's going like, you know what? I want to take Joe out. That's mm-hmm. what I'm getting the vibe from. I love Joe, but that's my vibe.
Yeah, it's just Joe. Joe is along for the ride. And
yeah.
And I, like, here's my thing with Joe. Some of the best characters in Survivor history were along for the ride. Like, you go all the way back to season 3, Big Tom Buchanan was along for the ride. He was smarter than he might have seemed, but to beat Lex, to beat Ethan, it was very unlikely that that was going to happen. He was a guy that they were just kind of pulling along, saying, come on, we'll have a good time. You see it all the time. Keith Nail was a guy who was along for the ride. Keith Nail, there was no strategy talk from Keith. It was always, somebody came to me and it was great and I'm having a great time. And like, but I think the difference between those types of players and Joe is all of these other players are being perceived as the comedic. A lot of times the person who's going for the ride is the comedic relief, right? Joe's not the comedic relief. Joe is this kind of guy that a lot of people would aspire to be. Right. He's this guy who's put together. He's got a good family. He has this amazing story. He's a firefighter. Like, he's in a Tyler Perry show coming up. Like, he has all these positives working for him. And yet it's like, okay, why isn't he better at Survivor? That's almost like the question that's being asked over and over again. And it's, I don't know. Like, I feel for him right now, because I know the community has just been brutal to him the entire season, but it's also like, he has not made a move and he's not going to make a move. And I mean, if Joe gets to the end again, he's your third place finisher for the second time in 3 seasons.
Yeah. And I'm not going to disagree with anything you just said, but there are also other, like, you can play Survivor the way he's playing it. And, you know, something might happen where you got a chance to win the game. I mean, you've done something right if you've made the final three. And if he makes it to the final three again, you know, it's a boring game, but it's also an effective game. And yeah, we'll see if it can be a winning game. Yeah. I don't know. But
and I do feel like with the jury that's sitting there, if you get enough old school mentality, they might vote for you. Because, you know, people have been saying this whole time, Joe essentially should have been cast on seasons 1 through 18. You know, like that's the type of game where he would really thrive.
Yeah.
And he's in the new era where everybody's a game bot. Everybody knows everything about everything. Everybody is like this strategic powerhouse who has studied what they would do in every situation of Survivor. And Joe's just like, dude, why is Devin's lying so much? Like, I don't understand it. I don't get why he wants to lie to everybody. It's like, right. Are you seeing what Devin's is doing, Joe? Like, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I have met four, though. I agree with you. I think people are fighting to get Joe to the end. And I think what's going to happen is if Joe goes home, it'll be because everybody wakes up and says, wait, if everybody wants him at final three, that means they don't want me at final three. We need to get rid of Joe because he's taking up a seat. And that's not
right. Right. I think the one thing that Joe could argue is like his loyalty was so strong that it put him in a great position in the game. And it's not fun. But mm-hmm. I feel like that's the angle that he could go to win the game.
Yeah. I think that's fair too. It would just be a matter of, do they respect it more than whoever he's sitting next to?
Exactly.
If it's an all new era final three, I think he has an argument there. I think though, if he's sitting against Suri, Devin's, Ozzy, even Aubrey, like I just don't see how he makes that argument.
Yeah. At all. Agreed.
Who you
got next?
Oh, I got next. I'll go next. Sure. I do have Suri here. So a little bit lower than you do, but at the end of the day, Suri is Suri. She's connected with everybody. I think Suri is going to make another finale, and it's just going to be a matter of, do we finally see Suri get handed $1 million check, or does Suri go out in some crazy fashion like she always does, and we have to hear her say, I guess it's not going to happen again. And we'll just sit through our stomach and watch the rest of the finale. So I think she's good this week, even if it's a double boot. I think that Ozzy, Rizzo having idols is more dangerous than Suri, and everybody's giving Suri so much information. She might be the first person to actually be able to use an extra vote for good in Survivor.
Yeah. I have Jonathan.
Okay.
Which I kind of want to lower that here, but I'll keep it. I'll fucking keep it. Whatever.
We're gonna hold you to that.
I got Jonathan here. I think Jonathan is in trouble. That's why I wanted to go a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm. You haven't said Ozzy yet. Is that known?
It is known. I'm gonna be honest with you, Phil. Here's what I did. I mixed up the list, and I've been kind of winging it here. Mm-hmm. It was, to your point from the beginning, I forgot Devin's had the idol when I made this list. So I put him at my bottom. And then I'm like, oh, shit, he's got the idol, so I got to put him at the top.
Hmm.
So, yeah, anyways, back to Jonathan. Look, I ran a race today, okay? Give me a break.
And you lifted weights. It wasn't just a race. And,
yeah, it wasn't just a race. Was that live on air when we talked about this, or was that pre?
That was not.
Just so everyone knows, I ran 5 miles today and worked out at 3 gyms. So if I'm not sharp on my game, that's why. Mm-hmm. So Jonathan, I feel like Jonathan's in trouble. He did the thing with Rick Devin's, but Devin's has an idol. It's like, it's so hard if you're going to like go for it and, you know, try to make some serious moves. If it doesn't work out and you're going back to camp, I'm dying to know how that conversation is going to go with Ozzy and Jonathan. But I feel like Ozzy might not know. Let's see how Jonathan plays this off. But yeah, that's who I got.
Yeah, I'm going to go lower on Jonathan here. I'm going to put Tiff next as my number 6, because even though I think Tiffany has pretty much no win equity, I just feel like Tiffany has positioned herself pretty well in the middle. Aubrey seems to want to play with her. Seems to want to play with her. Joe and Tiffany had that big conversation at the spaghetti reward. And Jonathan, so my bottom three then are Jonathan, Emily, and Devin's. And that's not the order necessarily, because Devin's does have an idol. Although if this is a double boot, that's why I have Devin so low.
Yeah. But
I do see Jonathan as a bigger threat right now, because Jonathan is actively against so many of the people that Tiffany is kind of working with. Now, I know that Jonathan had a good moment with Aubrey, but like, what is Jonathan and Serene's relationship right now? What is Jonathan?
I don't know.
Like, does he even have one?
I don't think so. Like, they've talked very little, right?
And he doesn't have an idol. So if Cerise says, well, why don't we just vote out Jonathan? Then they're going to vote out Jonathan.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a tricky spot.
No clue who's going home next episode.
Yeah. This is a tricky spot for the old school people too, though, because they're outnumbered for the first time by the new era. So if the new era wakes up and sees that, they can say, hey, let's get rid of these people. And I think Suri will have that in the back of her mind where she says, why don't we get rid of a new era person? We can't have it be easy for them at final eight.
Yeah.
And that new era person could be Jonathan because she has no relationship with him at all.
Yeah. I also have Emily here right below Jonathan. I kind of wish I would have flipped these. I feel like Emily's in danger.
You want to hold off on Emily then? You want to keep going? You have Ozzy, Emily. Who else do you have? Aubrey,
Tiffany, and Rizzo.
And Tiffany and no, you put Rizzo at two, so you haven't said Tiffany.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Tiffany, I think, is very safe.
So you're gonna put Tiffany over Emily then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to have Emily as. I went Emily to the bottom. I think Emily's going home next.
That's who I also have at the bottom.
Okay. So let me make this clear so I don't fuck up this podcast.
All the fans, they're in the comments. Like, Saul doesn't even know how to count to nine. This is brutal. Yeah.
How did he even make it on Survivor?
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder Rachel was not talking to him at that event. Makes total sense now.
This freaking meathead.
Yeah, he went to the gym, he picked things up, he put them down, and he can't think now to count.
Oh, you did some cardio. Now you can't think.
Yeah, you can't do cardio, man. That like lose it. I tell people I go for runs all the time. People are like, oh, that's not, you're not gonna lose weight doing that. I'm like, but I enjoy running. Like, what do you want from me? Leave me alone.
Get off my ass. All right, I'm good. Yeah. I'm ready.
All right, go ahead. Go from your six to the bottom.
So bottom six?
No, so you went Jonathan at five. You're saying Tiffany at six, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then who's your 7, 8, 9?
I thought I was ready.
I see you set me up to set you up.
Yeah. So if I have Emily going home next, mm-hmm. that she's my number one.
She's your number nine. Yeah.
She's my number nine. Mm-hmm. So I got Emily,
mm-hmm.
Aubrey,
mm-hmm.
and Tiffany.
And you're missing Ozzy still.
And so Ozzy will be the fourth.
Okay. So Ozzy ahead of Tiff. Okay.
Yeah.
So why are you worried?
Sorry, for Phil.
No, you're fine. Why are you worried for Aubrey? What is it about Aubrey that has you worried for her?
I feel like Aubrey doesn't have a true alliance. She got saved this past episode because like her name was brought up. So I feel like anytime your name is brought up and you're actually, there was two votes against you. It's like there's some momentum there going into the next tribal council. Like, hey, my name's already been brought up. I was the person to go out after or before Stephanie was. So that's my voting for Aubrey.
Yeah. I have, so I go Jonathan at seven. I put Devin's at eight. Devin's has the idol, but again, if it's a double boot this week, that's why I put him at eight, because if it's a double boot, I think he'd play the idol and then go home. But if it's not a double boot, Devin's would be way higher. I just don't know if it is a single or a double, but I also have Emily at the bottom. I think she's in the most danger. So
yeah.
What's your feeling on why Emily is going to go home this week?
Because Emily, like, she's just been so chaotic this entire season. I honestly don't know how she's still here. Mm-hmm. Like, she's telling plans left and right. She's already a mastermind. If you watched her season, you already know like what she's capable of. She's flipped on, hasn't she just told like plans left and right from Ozzy and Devin's?
Everybody.
Yeah. And nothing, it's just like sacred. Nobody can trust Emily. I love watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I love her, you know, all the chaos that she brings, but I also too think that, you know, her alliance isn't very strong, if she's even in one, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just don't think anyone can trust her. And at this point in the game, trust is gold.
Yeah. And if you're Devin's and you have the idol and everybody's like, we're going to vote out Devin's. Well, Devin's has the idol. So then who are you going to vote out next? Well, it's Emily. I mean, we have Emily and Devin saying, we should not be allowed to play this game together. We're doing this, we're doing that. Like,
right.
Emily's expendable to pretty much everyone. Although Emily did have the best line last week where it was like, she has a steal a vote. And then Emily goes, but you can't steal everyone's vote. And I love that line because it was just like so Emily of like, are you guys dumb? Like, do you not understand what you're saying?
Wait, but I thought that was Tiffany that said that.
Was it Tiffany? I thought it was Emily. Maybe it was Tiffany.
I could be wrong, but I thought Tiffany said that.
Okay. I could be wrong too, but oh, it was Tiff. Okay. It was Tiff. So I'm wrong there, but okay. I think it's just, well, Tiffany did a great job of that, of being like, are you guys dumb? Cause that's amazing as well. But Emily is just expendable to everybody right now. She is. So
yeah. And she's dangerous. Like,
go.
One of those players that like, we can't keep this girl around. And just, it's like, imagine trying to like build a plan with Emily, like with 9 left. You have got to have the fear of God in you that is she going to keep her mouth shut? And the answer is no. She's proven that over and over and over. So you can't keep that around.
Yeah.
If you're trying to play with people.
Yeah, no, I totally, totally agree. Totally agree with you on that one. And we have, let's throw this up here for you so that you can have the confidence going to the end here. Duck for Life 15, Saul's my favorite guest for all podcasts. So much aura.
I love Duck. I love Duck.
I feel like Emily's in trouble. And Selena Whimsy says nothing about Emily says a goat. She's either winning or going home soon. And that's kind of where I feel like if Emily were to be able to use this gameplay to get to final three, if she makes an argument that it's like, dude, like she's scary there because this has been chaos. She could say, I knew everything because you would tell me everything. And I would just tell everybody I was the agent of chaos. I'm the reason why it was blindside after blindside after blindside.
If Emily made it to the final and won Survivor 50, she would be my favorite Survivor player of all time. If she's able to use this strategy and win the fucking game.
Emily. Pure insanity. And I would I'd be here for it. I mean, Emily is hilarious to me. And so we've ranked all the players. You think Emily's going to go home? My question, you can't say Genevieve. You're not allowed. Who out of this cast do you most want to see play again?
Wow.
Because now that you're talking up Emily, I'm like, that's getting my mind going. I'm like, who do you really want to see? It can be more than one, but like, who are the couple people that you're like, I got to see them a third time or a fourth time or whatever?
I'm just going to be fucking honest here. The thing that pops into my head, and just because I'm so fucking jealous, is none of them. I'm like, I want to play again because I'm so jealous that they're getting to play Survivor again. I thought that the production did an amazing job from this list only.
You can do anybody. I'm just saying you can't pick Genevieve because we all know your answer is Genevieve. But out of the people who are on 50, who do you want to see again?
I want to see Christian on my television all the time. My wife, like, might divorce me because she loves Christian so much. Mike White. I love Mike White. Who else have I missed? It cannot say Genevieve.
We all know that you're number one. Season 47 just followed Genevieve to
I would love to see, this is such an easy answer, but Devin's has just been so good. Like, all time. Like, this season has just been just pulling shit. Like, dude, if you're pulling shit on a TV show that has been going on for 50 seasons and you're doing things that has never been done before and the format of the game hasn't changed that much, but you've done it, like, good for you. And come back on again. Like, because that means your creative ass can, you know, continue to do stuff like that. So I would say Devin's, Mike White, and Christian. I do love, this is funny about Coach, it's so funny because Survivor's been around for fucking 20 years, right? I'm a different person than the first time I watched Coach. And the first time I watched Coach, he got on my fucking nerves. I was like, I can't stand this guy. He's so annoying. But then as you grow older and you become in your 40s and you have a kid, you start to appreciate like a guy who says, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to show that to national television of who I really am. And I love it. I've, honestly, that's why I love Rizzo so much, because he doesn't care what you think about him. So I'm going to go with, I'd love to see Coach again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, just the icons yeah. only.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, Coach, for me, I know the internet wasn't loving Coach as much this season. I think it was, there was somebody who had commented a couple weeks back where it was like a lot of people who started watching during COVID, this was their first real experience with Coach. Like you watch the seasons, but you don't understand what Coach is on a week to week, episode by episode season. This was a reserved Coach compared to earlier.
For sure. COVID.
Like watching Token Chien's Coach week to week, as Rizzo would say, was cinema. Like it was because every week you were like, what? I just imagine Erin saying it every time. Who is this jackass? That was her line. And that's all I can imagine. Because week to week, you're like, what is he going to do next? I'd watch Coach on every season. And the funniest part is everybody likes Coach outside of the game. Like all the people he plays with end up really liking him out of the game. He's just so all over the place when he gets the camera in front of him. And I don't think he's playing it up. I just think he's like, I'm an entertainer. This is me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Coach. I mean,
I have not got to meet Coach. I have not had the pleasure, but I am really excited to when that day comes.
So here's the last one. Terra Knox Incognito. Who would you want to play with from season 50? This is a deep thought, everybody. Saul is thinking on this one. Mm-hmm. For those who are listening, you can't see. He is like.
I will always remember like Caleb and Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Caleb pulled her aside and was like, yo, you've got to chill out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when people do that, it fucking backfires.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, excuse me, mm-hmm. you're telling me, when it's genuinely very sound advice to keep you in the game. And that's why she's so smart, because she took it and it changed the trajectory of her game.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a very observant person where like it's actually one of my things that I'm working on too, because I do that a lot. Like I'm like, hey, you should probably do this. And it gets on people's nerves.
Mm-hmm.
But in the game of Survivor, if I can have that person that I can do that to and they can give it back to me, because I'm not going to get offended, I'm like, thank you. Thank you for telling me that my blind spot here. So Emily has proven herself to be that person, even though as chaotic as she is, I would hope like I could sit down with her and be like, shut your fucking mouth. But here's what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know? And if she could come to me and be like, hey, you're telling people to do so much. Like, and then be like, okay, if we could have that, it's like having a second set of eyes and ears that you totally trust. And it's not criticism that's going to affect your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's genuinely helping you. So I've seen that from Caleb and Emily. I could be that person from Emily, and Emily could be that person for me. Cause she's way smarter than I am. I think Emily's my girl.
There you go. I love that. Yeah. That's a great answer. So now everybody knows why season 55, Saul and Emily, look out for that, everybody. Don't let that happen.
What did they say? What did her and Devin say?
We should not be allowed to play together.
We should not, man. Emily, it's you and me, girl.
Yeah, I love it. Last one. Who you think is going to win? We're at final nine. Who you got?
I'm riding on the RIZGOD train. I've been riding on that since day one. And so he's still in the game. No votes, but two. So I'm happy with it.
Cool.
How about you? Who you riding with?
Devin's was my preseason. I don't think it happens after last week.
It's a great pick. Yeah. Great pick.
I mean, that's what I said to my wife. It was like when the cast first got announced, like in May. We all sat down. We did the assessment of like, oh my God, what do you think about? These are the 24 people. It's 24. Who do you got? And I said Devin's right then and there. I said, I think Devin's is the guy who can win this season. And the fact that I'm sitting here with my winner pick at number nine, I'm like, all right, I like that. I can get behind that. Like, that's a pretty good pick. That shows that I'm not lying all the time. You know, that's
well, honestly, if you're going to pick someone that's not the winner, if you get a number two pick, it's going to be Devin's.
Yeah.
Like, who it's like, who's your who's the most enjoyable player to watch? It's almost like who's the winner pick for some people. So, it's fucking Devens.
Yeah.
So good pick.
Yeah. I think at this point, though, I do think I'm over to Aubrey at this point, just based on watching last week. I'm like, oh, my God, like we're getting about her family, the mac and cheese, Michelle. And then the line that got me for Aubrey was, I lost to somebody who made their moves late in the game. I can.
And I learned some from that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she said whatever it was, paraphrasing that. She said that. I was like, oh, my God. Well, guess what, guys? We're at late game.
Yeah.
Like that felt like they were trying to set up her story, because then at the rest of that episode, she still didn't do anything.
It's like,
if they're telling us all this in an episode where she doesn't do anything, they're telling us it for a reason, and it's going to happen eventually. So that's my take on that.
Good pick.
Anything else you got going on the rest of the season? Are you going to any watch parties or anything? Or are you just hanging out?
Dude, I have a 4-month-old.
Mm.
I forgot what a watch party is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, it ain't nice. I love watch parties.
If I run into any of your 47 people, I'll make sure to take a picture and be like, damn, like I'm the Saul surrogate this day. So that's
there you go. There you go. I'll let that happen.
Yeah. That's funny.
No, other than that, man, I'm just trying to do my best being a dad. I will be making my first YouTube video. So here's what happened. Yeah. I got last place in my fantasy football league. And the loser had to make a 12-month calendar with every photo in your underwear. And I did that. The calendar has been made. I have to go to my local grocery store and sell 20 calendars for $20. Cannot be friends or family. And I decided I'm going to go all in and make a video out of it.
I love it. I mean, don't tell Bryce Isaiah. That's all I'm going to say. He's going to show up and he's going to be like, can I have all 20? He's going to be ready to go.
Yeah. We can't tell Bryce.
Saul's addy over here. That's crazy. That's so funny. Well, I'll tell you what. Don't start putting that out. Yeah. St. Clippo again, a Saul exclusive Zaddy calendar. I mean, I'm just saying the Survivor community, you might get some hits on that. That's all I'm saying.
We might have to sell some like autograph copies or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll start up the, whatever, like the Shopify or something for that. We'll take all the proceeds, you know, but you
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I got you. No, I love that. So there you go, everybody. Make sure you stay tuned. What's your YouTube so that everybody knows how to find that video?
It's like Blame the Solomony, just like my Instagram handle, I believe. Cool. Yeah. Cool. But follow me on there and you'll see it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. I will be live on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. I got to remember on the West Coast now, 8 p.m. Eastern, with Kyle, who does Matt Chat, also does Amazing Race for us. And then on Thursday, I got Omer Zahir. So I'm excited for that one. We'll be doing Digging Deeper that night. And on Wednesday, Will and I will be recapping. So thank you all so much for listening. And like the video, subscribe to the channel, patreon.com/thespecialist. My dog just got up. We'll see y'all later. She just shook off. She could tell I was done.